You'll turn back to Philemon. This evening we are thinking about our reconciliation with one another. Our reconciliation with one another. Over our communion season, we've been looking at this short personal letter which Paul wrote to Philemon. And the letter concerns reconciliation. Just as we've been reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, so in fellowship together, we must be reconciled to one another. This letter itself is being delivered by Tychicus. We know that because Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, which meets in Philemon's home, Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. So Tychicus is arriving with Paul's letters, one to the whole church at Colossae, and this letter to Philemon, and along with him is Onesimus. Because Paul is keen that Philemon and Onesimus be reconciled. Onesimus was that slave of Philemon who ran away. He had stolen from his master. But now he had come to faith in Rome, and Paul is sending him back to Colossae and back to his master. And to bring about this reconciliation, Paul is going to act in a Christ-like way in this letter. And so Paul gives us a picture or an illustration of the reconciling work of Christ. We saw that this morning at our communion service. The reconciling servant identifies with the offender, the runaway slave. And he identifies with the offended party. Paul says, whatever Onesimus has done wrong, I will repay it. Charge it to my account. And Paul's good standing before Philemon is how Philemon is to treat Onesimus. Treat Onesimus as you would me. Receive him as you would receive me. And of course, the greater reconciler, Jesus Christ, he's the one who has taken our debt, paid in full on the cross. More than this, his good standing, his righteousness is also given into our account so that we stand before the Father not just as those who are forgiven, but those who have been made righteous. Those who stand before the Father as holy, set apart, good in God's eyes, not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done. Because of what he has put into our account. A great exchange has taken place. And this beautifully warm personal letter is full of these doctrinal truths. And along with the warmth of the letter, these truths are like sledgehammers. And they are driving home the point that we must be reconciled. We must be reconciled to one another, because we have been reconciled to God through Christ. This evening, we come to the practical outworking of this great truth for us. In our fellowship together, if we share in fellowship in Christ, if we are in Christ, if we've been reconciled to God the Father, then we must work at being reconciled to one another. Just as we've been reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, and so we are in fellowship together, so we must be reconciled to one another. Here's a lesson for us from Paul's prison letter to Philemon. Well, let's look at our reconciliation with one another. And we see, firstly, the foundation of our reconciliation. The foundation of our reconciliation. Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 18, and Ian read this for us earlier, and we didn't even discuss it. This is what Paul says. He speaks about having a ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This ministry of reconciliation finds its foundation in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. And just as he has done that, just as we are new creations in Christ, so we are called to be involved in reconciliation. This is the basis, or the sharing of our fellowship. It's the basis of the fellowship between Paul and Philemon. Look at this letter. Paul calls Philemon in verse 1, our beloved fellow worker. And then later on, he shares in the faith in Christ. Verse 7, he is a brother to Paul in Christ. He says of Onesimus in verse 11, that Onesimus is now in Christ. He is useful. And Philemon is to accept him as a brother in the flesh and in the Lord that is in Christ, in verse 16. Just as Philemon shares in the faith in Christ, so he must accept Onesimus in Christ. He must accept him as his brother, because he is in Christ. You see, the difference between these two men has been put away. Paul will deal with that. The difference between these two men is dealt with. And now that they are in Christ, Paul is saying, Philemon, you're to open up your arms to Onesimus, because you are both now in Christ. And for us, as believers, we share our faith in Christ. We're in fellowship in Christ. And so we must accept one another in Christ as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters in the faith, our family, the ones closest to us, because we are in Christ together. Our new nature in Christ is a shared nature with our brothers and sisters. This is the foundation for our reconciliation. Paul would write to the church in Colossae. Remember, they're receiving these two letters at the same time. They were probably read out on the same day. They arrived through the hands of Tychicus. And there with Onesimus with him. And very quickly turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. Colossians 3, verse 11 to 13. And picture the scene. Because Onesimus is here. This church is meeting in the home of Philemon. And here is this runaway slave. And verse 11. Paul says, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. We are to forgive and welcome because of Christ, because the Lord has forgiven us. We are to work at being reconciled to one another because we are in Christ together. And Paul is saying here in this letter to the Colossians, our social standing doesn't matter. Language barriers don't matter. Nationality doesn't matter. Our background doesn't matter. What we have done beforehand doesn't matter. What matters is we are all one in Christ. And that's the foundation. We already share. We already partner. We're already in communion with Christ. And so there's to be no division amongst us. Accept and welcome one another. Paul says to Philemon, not as slaves, but more than slaves. As brothers, as sisters in Christ. The foundation of our reconciliation. But then secondly, we have the cost of our reconciliation. The cost of our reconciliation. Paul knows the cost. We thought a little bit about this morning. Onesimus cost Philemon dearly. And Paul's going to take the cost on himself. The debt will be paid. But there's also a cost to Philemon. It isn't going to be easy to forgive. It isn't going to be easy for Philemon to be reconciled with Onesimus, the runaway slave. Part of the reason for that is Philemon has a social expectation. Onesimus is still his slave, and he was a runaway slave. He stole from Philemon. As his master, there's an expectation on Philemon to punish this slave, to brand this slave with the letters FVG for fugitive. If Philemon wants to keep his good name intact in society, in the community, then he should deal with Onesimus severely. To hug Onesimus when he came into Philemon's home. To say to him, you're forgiven. To say to Onesimus, you're home now. That would not have been easy for Philemon. It would cause a stir within the city of Colossae. A master welcoming back a runaway slave. Hugging his slave. Calling him brother. Forgiving him. And all this alongside the hurt caused by Onesimus. And that physical cost to Philemon. The way that Paul says that he will pay the debt there in verse 19. Paul says he will pay the debt. But the expectation in Paul's words is that Philemon will cancel the debt. That Paul's good standing before Philemon is enough for Philemon to say to Onesimus, your debt is cancelled. Philemon is going to be at a physical loss. Forgiving is going to cost him. And yet this is exactly what Paul is calling on Philemon to do. Philemon, set aside your pride. Set aside your wounds, your hurts. Set aside what is expected of you socially. Set aside your rights. Forgive him. Accept him. Open wide your arms to him. Receive him as you would me, because Jesus Christ has accepted you. Display the same forgiveness as you have received. That's not easy. It will cost Philemon, but it's what he's to do. And friends, this is what we are to do with one another. Forgiveness will cost us. Forgiveness will be hard at times. When we've been offended or hurt, when we've been wronged. Yet in Christ, we are to listen to what Paul says to Philemon, and we are to do exactly the same. Welcome your brother. Welcome your sister. Throw open your arms. Set aside your wounded pride. Set aside your petty little hurt, your grievance. Cancel the debt. Accept one another in Christ. Yes, it will cost you. It will be hard. But surely that cost is nothing compared to the cost that Christ gave for you. Compared to what Christ paid. Compared to the debt that you had cancelled. The cost of our reconciliation with others is nothing in comparison to what Christ gave. In Christ Jesus, we should be quick to forgive, as the Lord has forgiven us. The cost of our being reconciled together, it's nothing compared to what it cost Christ that we might be reconciled to the Father. So let us be quick to forgive, ready to forgive. Thirdly, we have the importance of our reconciliation. The importance of our reconciliation. Paul saw himself as one who had a ministry of reconciliation. Not just in bringing the good news of Christ to people, but also for those in Christ, in the church, to be reconciled together. At the time of writing this letter, Paul was also writing to the church in Philippi. And there he's going to name and shame two ladies who had fallen out, Euodia and Syntyche. I plead with you in the Lord to agree with one another. Agree in the Lord. He says of these two ladies, be reconciled. Those in the church need to be reconciled. If there's a falling out, it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be resolved. Paul doesn't hide away from the work of reconciliation because it's important. He could have kept Onesimus in Rome. Onesimus had lived up to his name in Rome. He had become useful. He was useful to Paul. Onesimus was able to go and run errands for Paul. He could help Paul while Paul was under house arrest. Paul says that he was going to miss Onesimus when he left. He says this to Philemon, if you look at verse 13. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf. Paul describes the leaving of Onesimus as if it's sending back his very heart, the end of verse 12. But Paul knows that these two brothers need to be reconciled for the sake of the gospel and for the good of the church. Because this reconciliation will be a witness to the difference that Christ makes in our lives. This reconciliation will be a witness to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll be a picture of the gracious work that a loving heavenly Father has done for us through Jesus Christ. And that's why there needs to be forgiveness in the church, that we might display and show the love of God to us, that we might grow and learn and reflect on what God has done for us by being quick to forgive one another. And so Onesimus is sent back to Philemon because it's important for the church. Paul could also have sent Onesimus back to Philemon with a private letter. This is a personal letter, but it's not a private letter. It's a letter for the church. Look at verse 2. Paul is writing to Philemon and Apphia, his wife, and Archippus, his son, and the church in your house. This is a letter that is going to be public. The church are going to hear it. And they are going to see it worked out before their very eyes. And the church will praise God because of the forgiveness shown and the reconciliation brought about between these two men. You see, reconciliation is important because it affects the whole church. If there's a division, the church is affected for the worse. If there's a falling out, a disagreement, an obstacle, something that gets in the way, anything that spoils the fellowship, the whole church is affected. But so also, if there's forgiveness, if there's love, there's fellowship. If there's reconciliation between brother and brother and sister and sister, if the love of Christ is being displayed and showed and lived out in the church family, then the whole church is affected, yet this time for the good. And she grows and she matures and she praises God for his goodness to her. Reconciliation is of great importance to the church. That's why Paul takes time to deal with this. With all of his other concerns, you think of Paul's other letters. You think of the amount that he writes. Consider the depth of the theology in those letters. Dealing with heresies. Dealing with big issues within the church. And here, it's a problem between two individuals. And yet he takes his time and he writes this letter to resolve the issue because reconciliation is important. And that's why he names and shames the two ladies in Philippians. Reconciliation is important because it affects the whole church. Reconciliation. Fourthly and finally, the way of reconciliation. The way of reconciliation. We've considered the foundation in Christ. We've thought of the cost. It will be hard. We're going to have to be ready to forgive, but Christ paid a greater cost. The importance, it's something that affects the whole church. And now, this is how it is to be done. The way of reconciliation. Paul does all of this in love. Some of you have said to me throughout this communion season that Paul's nearly using a type of emotional blackmail, or he makes it difficult for Philemon to refuse his request. It would have been very hard to say no to Paul. Here he's appealing to the emotions. Here he's appealing to Philemon in such a way that Philemon's in a position where if he said no, everybody would be booing him or shunning him. How dare he say no after Paul's written this? But Paul even admits that himself. Look at verses 8 and 9. Though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. Verse 10 then, I appeal to you. Verse 14, I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord or your own free will. Paul could have commanded Philemon to show forgiveness. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul had authority to command. He could have done that, but he doesn't. It's interesting as well that Paul begins the letter. If you look at verse 1, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Turn very quickly to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Here Paul writes in Philemon, a prisoner for Christ. And yet how does he address himself to the church at Colossae? Paul, an apostle. Paul, the one with authority. Paul, the one with divine authority. Paul, the one who can command you as he writes the inspired word of God. But to Philemon, Paul, a prisoner. Philemon, I'm not writing to command you, although I could do that. Philemon, I could command you if I wanted to. But I am writing as one of love. I'm appealing to you. I'm asking you as a prisoner. I'm asking you as your brother. Show forgiveness. And friends, this is the way of reconciliation. Not being heavy-handed, not lording it over others, but gentle, loving, setting before our brothers and sisters in Christ the love of God in Christ, appealing to the very grace that they have been shown, that they show it to others. And Paul does this masterfully and beautifully through this letter. Look at verse 7. And this is the way the word order is in the original. For I have great joy and encouragement from your love, because the inner being or the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. My brother. My beloved fellow worker. My joy. My comfort. Paul says, I know you will do the right thing. And so much more. Paul saying, I love you, Philemon. Now I appeal to you to love this brother. Love my son in the Lord. Love the one who is my heart. Our brother. Your brother. Paul stands with his arms, metaphorically speaking, around both of these men. And he loves them both. And he wants them to know that. And he draws his arms together and he says, as I love you, I want you to love one another. Reconciliation is to be done in love. It requires love to be reconciled. And friends, if we have known the love of God the Father, then we are to be those who are involved in reconciliation. Reconciliation in love. Drawing each other together. Being quick to show forgiveness. Being quick to encourage. Being quick to set aside our pride. Quick to set aside little complaints that we might have. Whatever it may be. Quick to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, because it has its foundation in the work of Christ, the one who paid the price for us. And we're to be involved in this reconciliation because it affects the whole church, because we display the love of Christ. It's to be manifest amongst us, this love of Christ. And will Philemon do it? I said this morning we can be confident that he did. Paul was confident in verse 21. But here is further encouragement. Paul told Philemon to be ready for him to come if he was graciously released from Roman arrest. Paul says, I will arrive. And Paul will know if this love of Christ has been displayed between Philemon and Onesimus. Paul will know if Philemon has worked for reconciliation. Our great reconciler, he will know. He sees. He knows. And he is returning soon. So friends, we should be about the business of reconciliation. Just as we have been reconciled to the Father through Christ, and so we're in fellowship together, we must therefore be reconciled to one another, quick to forgive, quick to cancel the debt, quick to set aside our hurts and our pride, and quick to show the love of Christ to each other that we have experienced in our Savior. Amen.